So let's get back to weight and the conversations you can have about it or not, as the case may be.
Any discussion about weight can be quite complex and confronting for both, I would say, the clinician and the patient. But weight discussion in primary care is actually quite essential. We know that weight loss or weight gain, living with overweight obesity, can be associated with some health risks. But the conversation, Norman, can be done well or it can be done poorly. And weight stigma is still a significant issue within healthcare. There's new research that's looked at supporting weight-focused discussions in primary care. So in general practice, what are the barriers? What are the facilitators? How do you do it well? Why is it important? Professor Gemma Sharp is a lead author of the paper and the founding director of the Consortium for Research in Eating Disorders.
We started this research in 2023, and what we found was there was far more research on the patient perspective of discussions about weight at a primary care level, but we heard much less from the primary care professionals themselves. And we're going, well, how do they think conversations about weight are going? What do they think is going well? What do they think is going less well? So we were looking at three different approaches to how primary care professionals might have this conversation. So the first one being weight-centric, or kind of that move more, eat less, rather simplistic approach to weight loss. Then we had our weight-inclusive approach, which looked at weight as a more holistic part of health, that weight is one indicator of health and we're looking at improving all areas of health together. And the last one, which came through from our earlier research, was just complete avoidance. It's okay. Like, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
So what were the key findings to come out of the study?
Got to admit, I think we may have been preaching to the converted a little bit with this research, but we found that that weight-inclusive holistic approach was preferred no matter what. So if the patient was coming in asking for weight management help or coming in asking for a completely separate issue, like a respiratory tract infection, that's what we had in our study, using a weight-inclusive approach really landed best with them. They thought the language and the strategies used were best.
Can you just explain what the weight inclusive approach is? And is that the health at every size? Is that the HACE approach that people often talk about?
Yeah, it's certainly aligned with HACE most strongly, that health at every size approach. So in this study, we had a sort of simulated GP speaking with a simulated patient, 1.5 minute scenario, so very brief, so not simulating a full consultation. But in the scenario when the patient was asking for weight management assistance, the doctor really went through and said, you know, don't blame yourself. Weight is impacted by many different factors. So shifting away from that blaming stage and then talking about lots of different approaches to overall health. So obviously there is diet and exercise, but we also got our doctor to talk about potential pharmacological approaches, working within a multidisciplinary team so that the person got that wraparound care. That was that weight inclusive approach. And even when the patient was coming for the respiratory tract infection, we could see that they had a higher BMI, and the doctor talked about, if you would like to come back and talk about weight management strategies more, we can book that in, but we're really looking to support your overall health and weight is one aspect of that.
So you said that some primary care physicians were concerned about raising it, this kind of avoidance. And there's this fear of having these uncomfortable conversations. Are there any tips, or did anything come out of the study in terms of ways that these conversations can actually happen in a safe manner without stigma and judgment?
I mean, it's easier if the patient is coming in asking for that support, isn't it? Like, you know that they're going to be a receptive audience. But I think it's about talking about overall health. It's not going, oh, hop on the scale and lecture them about their BMI. It's literally like, weight is one aspect of health, which as a primary care physician, it is my duty to discuss, as well as lots of other things like sleep and appetite, body image, coming from my own perspective. So we consider it to be just part of a holistic conversation. And generally speaking, when patients see it like that, that you want to support them in lots of different ways, it lands much better.
So weight stigma in healthcare, when people face prejudice because of living maybe with overweight, obesity, there may be higher weight. What does that potentially look like, Gemma? For people listening, maybe they've experienced it, but what can it look like?
When they go see their primary care professionals, well, first up, they might avoid doing that entirely because they're so worried about the kind of response that they'll get. Like, believe me, they know that their health is probably an issue better than anyone, and they're being lectured to by everyone around them about how to lose weight before they even see their GP or primary care physician. So they're bringing a lot of, generally speaking, negative experiences already to the consultation room. So it's great that they're even there. And if they want to talk about weight, that's even better because it means they're going, hey, there might actually be something that can help me for once. And I think with the GLP-1s becoming so popular, I think more people are being a bit more willing to come forward. But then if they get that very weight-centric approach of like, you're to blame for your weight, you have no willpower, you're just gluttonous, all these sort of very blaming things, which unfortunately I've heard in my practice all too many times, then they're going to stop listening. They're going to go, this person does not get it. They don't realize what I've been through living in a larger body. And they're not going to be receptive to anything that's said after that, generally speaking, and probably be very upset.
And those are really implicit biases, aren't they? Which as a medical student years and years ago, it was a long time ago, we were never taught to confront our implicit biases around lots of things, but including weight. Is that something, Gemma, that needs to be more widely covered in all health professional teaching? I'm talking dietitians, nurses, medical professionals.
Yeah, I think I feel very lucky to have come through psychology school, for want of a better term, because we were sort of taught to look at these, like, what do you bring to the consultation room? What's your stuff? And I think if we had that kind of training in health professionals more broadly, that could only help patient care. Like, what kind of history, what kind of experience do you bring to the consultation room that may impact how you're interacting with patients?
I know in this study you discuss the fact that time constraints in a consult can limit the ability to have these really quite nuanced and difficult conversations. Are there solutions to this? What do the solutions look like?
Changing Medicare entirely. I know that sort of came up as an answer. I mean, I do think there should be specific Medicare items to address these kinds of issues because we know that there's that strong intersection with mental health as well. So you need to cover off on lots of different aspects of health when you're discussing this. I think being supported to have longer consultations to do this well, or another strategy that we did here come through as well was coming back with like the nurse practitioner to have a sort of second conversation that could be a bit longer. Maybe the GP starts off the conversation, make sure the person's feeling as comfortable as possible. So there's that option as well. And I think having the ongoing care pathways set up that are actually accessible, that is a major barrier, like having the coordinated care teams to support people with their mental and physical health at higher weight.
Something a lot of people don't realise, Gemma, is that even in people with higher weight, eating disorders can exist, and that if there's weight stigma in any form in healthcare, it can actually perpetuate things and potentially cause more harm. Can you just explain that relationship?
Yeah, I mean, we actually know that eating disorders are more prevalent at higher weight. So if someone is coming in asking for weight management, it's very likely that they may also have an eating disorder. And so it's so important to screen for eating disorders. And I think what we're kind of grappling with at the moment is how to treat eating disorders as well as obesity at the same time. And I suppose I feel very grateful in my own practice that I seem to be getting a lot of these referrals. And I think we don't necessarily need to be at loggerheads as we sort of have been in the eating disorders and obesity field. We can actually work together and really do it well and take care of people's physical and mental health at the same time. And I think it's about building a team around a person where everyone's on the same page about the use of the GLP-1, but also regulating their eating and promoting good mental health at the same time.
So it might not be that it's a no to these particular medications, but it's in a supported way with someone like a psychologist involved who subspecializes in the space.
Exactly. And I think I've had, which I've really appreciated, healthcare professionals write to me and go, look, I'd really like to prescribe a GLP-1 for our shared patient, expecting me to be vehemently opposed. And I'm like, no, actually, I've already discussed this with this patient and I think we can work really well together and get good outcomes. So I think it does not need to be a definite no that you cannot have this concurrent care. I think what we're still working out is exactly how best that looks and, you know, more research. I think this is going to keep coming up more and more. I've seen this come through my own practice and through research. So we really need to make sure we're supporting these patients as best we can.
That was Professor Gemma Sharp, who's the founding director of the Consortium for Research in Eating Disorders.
So there you are. If your doctor raises something in conversation, you know they've listened to the health report.